We are going to be in 2 Timothy today. Like I said, if you ever want to throw a pastor off of his game and make him really just uneasy, take a sermon he's been working on for several weeks and then throw a snowstorm at it and sit there and say, listen, I don't think it's, you know, put God's heart in it and say, I think you need to wait on that one because that's kind of a major push of where the church is headed in the future and we want to equip you for doing that. Now, luckily enough that with a seminary and doing a program that I'm in right now that I've been working on this a little bit on the side, and so hopefully it won't suck too bad, so go with it. So we are going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 12 today, if you want to turn to that as we get ready. But have you ever felt like you were just alone? You know, you get sent out, or maybe you're having that conversation, and you don't feel like God's really on your side, and you're trying to do the obedient thing. And that's kind of what Timothy is in. Timothy is in an area that the church is really not backing him. He's a younger man, which we talked about last week, wasn't a normal thing inside the Christian world. They were usually a little bit older people because they were, you know, some of the more disenfranchised from the Jewish tradition and those who were out and had the ability to be educated. So it's usually older gentlemen who were out on mission. And Timothy is a young guy. Never says how young, but Paul constantly has reminded him, don't let your age be an issue. Don't let your age be an issue. And so I can only imagine that Timothy is feeling pretty downcast about where he is and what's going on. And Paul is his mentor. When we enter into the ministry, we're always told that you need to have your Paul, your Barnabas, and your Timothy. So your Paul is your mentor, the person who you stand or that you kind of look up to, and they kind of are that person out there. Your Barnabas is the person who walks beside you, you know, that fellow staffer or maybe another pastor from another area or a member in the congregation who's very involved. You know, that person who's just kind of helping you get through the tough times to make sure you're not by yourself. If you remember, Paul travels with Barnabas throughout his ministry a lot of the time. And then you need your Timothy. You need to be that person that you're bringing up. And Timothy is a young man who Paul is encouraging and bringing up to be a pastor, to be the next church planter like he is in all intents and purposes. But Timothy's role must have been pretty difficult. He wasn't in churches that were generally supportive of him because they were brand new. They were trying to figure out what was church. What did it mean to be the body of Christ? I can imagine, even with all the books I can read nowadays and all the people I can call and ask for ideas of how to do something or go and have a meeting about what's an idea that we can use to cut across this, Timothy didn't have any of that. And the fact was, is he couldn't pick up a telephone or shoot off an email at all. He had to wait for something or send a letter, and it took weeks upon weeks upon weeks to get the answers back to him about what should I do for this situation, or I'm clueless and I don't know where to go. So you see, Timothy needed encouragement. Timothy needed to remember or to be reminded what the strength he carried within him was and where to draw back, and that even though Paul was there, he didn't need Paul. And that's where we come into this letter of the 2 Timothy, is Paul is writing to him a second time to encourage him again, more in this one than the first one. The first one's a lot of instruction, but the second letter to Timothy is really a lot of encouragement to stand up and to be who God had made him to be. And so please, if you could, stand with me. He says, I thank God who I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. And this is Paul talking to Timothy. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded, I am persuaded is in you also. And therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his, or me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. And for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you understanding that sometimes we need encouragement. Sometimes we feel like the fight is too big. Please bring Paul's along the side of us, who can help hold us up, who encourage us to be what you have called us to be. For Lord God, you are all-powerful, all-giving, and with you there is nothing that can't be done, as long as it is within your will. And so, God, we come before you and we ask for that encouragement, that spirit of courage and of love and of sound mind, that we may drown out our fears and be bold and not ashamed of who we believe in. Amen. Please go ahead and have a seat. Paul starts out with this beautiful, beautiful, encouraging statement. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. Don't you love it when you hear that people are praying for you? If you're a solid believer who believes in the power of prayer, if you come alongside and you pray with people, and then suddenly you hear that, hey, I was praying for you the other day, the first time I really experienced it straightforward was shortly after becoming a Christian. Back in 96, I went back to our home church, or the church that was kind of my home church back up in Green Bay. It was the church that a friend of mine would bring me to. And as I was sitting there, and I had taken off a semester because of the military, and I was back home, and I was going to church on a regular basis and attending a men's group, an old biology teacher of mine, Mr. Wall, Ed Wall, and which was really funny because we did not get along ever in high school. He was the basketball coach, and I wasn't this big back in high school. I was kind of, you know, about 4 or 5 inches shorter and a little bit rounder than I am nowadays, and so I got cut from the basketball team. You know, so me and him just had not a real great relationship between the two of us, and he became my mentor. He became my Paul when I was a young Christian. Through the church that we were at, and he came up to me and he said, you know, I was praying for you. I'm like, what do you mean you were praying for me? Remember, I'd just become a Christian. He says, this summer, because I had talked to him just before I left that summer, he said, you know, I just knew something big was on the horizon for you. I was praying for you all summer. There were a lot of people praying for me that summer. I have no doubt about that. I mean, I can't count how many people have told me that, hey, that summer there was an awful lot of prayer going on for your soul, for you as a person. But it was so encouraging to hear that I wasn't alone in the fight. I was confused. I'd been living my life broken, pursuing things I shouldn't have been pursuing, being angry at the world when I shouldn't have been being angry at the world because I had no reason to be angry at the world. It wasn't like the world owed me anything, but I felt it did. And I was spiraling downwards rapidly, quickly. And then I came to Christ, and my life changed, but now my entire world also changed with it. How many people can relate with that? How many people can remember the day that they became a Christian and suddenly realized that everything they had been doing up until that point probably wasn't something they should continue to pursue? That was me. In fact, it was such a drastic change in my life as I started pursuing it. Everybody around me in the first couple weeks I was back noticed the change to the point where I was being told, man, you are not the same man you left at the beginning of the summer as. And while I was happy about that, it left me very confused. And I can just imagine Timothy being the same way. But here's Paul saying, every night of my prayers and every day I remember you, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Think about that. If you knew you had someone standing next to you who cared so much about you that they remembered even your sorrows, Not just the good times, but the difficult times. And they sat next to you and they thought about you. And they thought about those times of despair in your life and prayed for you as you went through those things. Wanting to see you. See, now, Paul traveled all over the place. He had many churches that he had helped plant. That was why he was an apostle. The term of apostle meant was that they were out planting churches. They were out growing the kingdom as Christ had started to do when he was walking the earth. And so they couldn't be together all the time. And Timothy was a pastor of a local church, no different than here. In the sense of being contained to an area, he wasn't able to just go out and find Paul whenever he needed to. And he couldn't pick up a phone, as we talked about earlier. But just to know that Paul wanted to see him had to be a strength. I know when I get that phone call and say, hey, can't see you right now, but I want to come see you. When can we get a time together? Helps me, encourages me, lets me know that I'm not walking alone. How about you in your life when you're going through a tough time and suddenly that phone rings and you pick it up and it's like, hey, thinking about you. When can we get lunch? That's exactly what Paul's doing. And he says, hey, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother and then in your mother, and because of that, I'm persuaded it is in you. He's reminding Timothy that you have something inside of you that has been passed down from generation to generation. And if you're struggling with capturing that, go back to those generations. If you're struggling with your faith, if you're struggling with understanding your role in Christ or maybe what your purpose is, go back to those who were there at the beginning. Go back to those who are the founding people inside your faith. Don't forget what they have taught you. Don't forget, and I don't necessarily mean that you have to be in front of them to do this, but remember what they have taught you. Go back and understand the strength that they had. I love the fact that Paul pulls out that to Timothy, the two most important people of his early journey were his grandmother and his mother. For the churches that sit there and say women have no role in Christ or have no role in teaching or any of the other things that we hear on a regular basis, Paul is obviously saying that is not the truth. What he's reminding us is that those who are of faith can affect those who are of not or have no faith yet, and that they can become an important instrument in how God brings people about. Verse 6, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying of my hands. So in other words, when you became a Christian and when you committed to following Christ as disciple, and we laid our hands upon you to ordain you to be the pastor, to be the religious leader of the church that you're at, a special spirit entered into you on that moment. The Holy Spirit came into you and raised you and prepared you for the task that we as a people saw you completing and filling inside the church. Don't forget that, Timothy. See, each and every one of you, as you became a believer, was touched with the Holy Spirit. Was given a gift from God laid upon you through your belief in Jesus Christ. Each and every one of you has this extraordinary ability through the Holy Spirit to go and take this gift and do great things in the name of Jesus Christ with it. Don't forget that it dwells within you. Don't forget that you have been touched by God for the purpose that He has made you. Don't forget that you have something that someone else doesn't, and that it is special between you and God alone. And remember that. Take strength in it and move forward with it. If it's preaching, then preach. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's being generous or merciful, then practice those. Because that is your strength. See, I think what Paul was trying to remind Timothy is if you focus on all the stuff that isn't your strength, you'll feel broken. But if you focus on those things that God has empowered you to do, has called you to do through the gifting of the Holy Spirit, then you'll feel strong. Then you'll have confidence as you walk forward. And then verse 7, which is a pretty important verse in our family, is for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What Paul's reminding Timothy is God does not give you brokenness. God does not deliver a gift that is not useful. He does not empower you to take that gift to do evil or harm with it. Instead, it's to move forward in good. And so he says, take out the spirit of fear, so stop being afraid. All too often we sit in fear of what the world is when we have God behind us. We see the brokenness in the world and we're afraid to walk across it. We see how people are hurt and we don't know how to address it because we're scared that we might say something wrong. You know what? When you deal with suicidal people, the general concept in general public is that, hey, you don't ask them about that because you're just helping them think about it. But the truth is, in the counseling world and in the coming alongside and helping someone through, is the number one question you need to ask them is, are you thinking of killing yourself? The reason that's such an important thing is because they can't lie. They can say yes or no, but they have to take stock of it. But because of our fear, we dance around it. And we ask a bunch of stuff that doesn't mean anything or that they can play in the gray zone with, and we never see the true hurt that's there. See, our fear keeps us from doing what we need to do. Our fear keeps us from sharing the gospel with the person sitting next to us on a plane. Our fear keeps us from crossing a border into an unchurched, unknown world because we fear what they may do to us when we say it. See, our fear keeps us from being generous because we may not have enough food for tomorrow when God has shown himself to be plenty good enough to provide each and every day. See, there are so many different things that our fear holds us back, keeps us from pursuing what God's will is. And Timothy is being instructed by Paul that you need to remember that you've been pushed that out, that the Holy Spirit has taken that away. Instead, the Holy Spirit has brought you a spirit of power, so strength. In other words, not to overpower someone, but a power to be bold as you walk in through the Spirit and of love. Remember that all things are done in love, right? 1 Corinthians 13, the greatest is love. The fact of it is when we remember that we have a spirit of love to be compassionate to one another, to see the other person for who God has made them, and to share what God has brought between us, the love that he shares amongst the Trinity, which is now ours to share amongst each other. And then of a sound mind. So in other words, wisdom and discernment. See, when we come to God, when we remember that the Holy Spirit dwells in us and we start understanding Scripture through how God sees Scripture and how we can understand through the Holy Spirit and coming into it. When you take those three, fear no longer has a foothold in it because you're now bold. You no longer have that fear because you have strength to walk into the situation and know that God is there present through the Holy Spirit in it, that the Holy Spirit will do all the heavy lifting. You just need to literally bring it in. You are no different than a vehicle, two-legged vehicle bringing the Holy Spirit to where it needs to be. And fear can no longer stand if you have love, because if you act in love, the other person's not going to lash out against you because they're going to know that it's truly love that is being helped or being given as help. And finally, if you have a sound mind, you can rationalize and not have the fear of the unknown or the uncertain. And he says, because of all this, he says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. So in other words, don't be ashamed of the Lord and who he is, and do not be ashamed of us who go out and we preach the gospel. Yes, I may be a prisoner, but I'm a prisoner because I preach the gospel, is what Paul is reminding Timothy. He says, just because I'm a prisoner locked up in my own home at this particular time doesn't mean that you should have shame for who I am, because I've done so with remembering who Jesus Christ was. I'm here because of the gospel. I'm doing the work of God, so therefore I could care less what men think. And therefore, Timothy, you should do the same. Don't be ashamed that you are a preacher of the gospel. Don't be ashamed that you're a believer of Jesus Christ. But all too often in our world, we see that, we feel that. All too often we bury our heads when we can hear a situation going on around us and we're afraid to bring the truth of Christ into it because we're ashamed that we might be shunned for it or we might be made fun of it, when we know in honesty it's the truth of the situation, or it's the truth that will fix the situation. Paul reminds him that his call is to share in the sufferings for the gospel. according to the power of God. So in other words, it's not always going to be rosy. There might be days of difficulty. There might be days where you feel like you're struggling. Or there might be days you're persecuted, that people come after you. But if you use, or if it, at the center of it is God, then you're good to go. There's no concerns that you should carry with you, because the world is temporal while Christ is eternal. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purposes and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So in other words, no matter what happens in this temporal area, this world, this flesh, means absolutely nothing. Because God controls all things, and in it is eternity for those who follow him. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality of our to light through the gospel. So in other words, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, who were not to be ashamed, who were supposed to go out and share the gospel, none of us would know this. None of us would know that we have eternity. None of us would understand that we're forgiven for sin. None of us would know that the Holy Spirit sits within us, because we would just be clueless. We wouldn't have seen the example of Jesus Christ. We wouldn't have seen the power of the miracles that he did, the power in his preaching, the boldness that he acted with. See, Jesus Christ was our light to show us and lead us down a path that will make us stronger, which will return us to that understanding of pushing fear away, instead having strength and courage and sound mind, or strength and love in a sound mind. See, without Jesus Christ, we wouldn't know any of it, because we would have never seen it as an example set for us. Because in humanity, all too often, we see the brokenness instead of the good. And while not everybody is completely evil, right? There are people who do bad things. We can see that all too often. And so through the story of Jesus Christ, we can see God's strength, we can see God's power, we can see his wisdom, we can see his love. And in it, we can push out the fear that sits and dwells within us. And Paul reminds them, so it is this gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that I was appointed to preach, to be an apostle towards, to teach to the Gentiles. Nothing else but this gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the only truth that I have been accredited to give out. He's reminding Timothy that that's what you should be too. This is what you should be focused on, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what you are called to be a preacher of. And he says, for this reason I also suffer these things, but nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. So in other words, what Paul's saying is while I understand that this message is what makes me suffer, it brings the persecution, he's not ashamed of it, because he knows that through the truth of the gospel of who Jesus Christ is, the strength that brings into his life can overcome all the suffering that he feels. Because he knows that he's committed his life to Jesus Christ, and that in the final day, Jesus Christ will commit himself to Paul's life, and that Paul will have eternal life. So the question today is are you ready to commit yourself to Jesus Christ? Not just in saying, not just in a following on Sunday morning, but every day of your life. Are you willing to set aside your fear of what may happen and pursue what God has asked you to be, to lead you to an eternal life that he has promised will happen? Paul was reminding Timothy that everything pins on Jesus Christ. The strength, our love, our wisdom is all based on Jesus Christ. And the beauty is if we can commit to that, if we can surrender ourselves to that truth, if we can flow into a lifestyle that truly looks to honor and glorify Jesus Christ, then we can be assured, as he says, For we know whom we believe. And let that persuade us to be able to keep what we, our lives, have committed to Jesus Christ, knowing that he will commit us to himself on the final day. Be bold. Have strength. Share God's love. And seek his wisdom in all things. If we can do that each and every day, if we can wake up and commit ourselves to do those three things, to boldly proclaim his truth to those around us in the world, to share his love with the people who we come into contact with day in and day out, and to deliver his wisdom when it is needed, then we will find no fear in our life anymore. We will be rooted in strength and assurance of our eternal life. Go boldly. Be bold and overcome that fear. Amen.